Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to a special edition of Real Science Friday. I am Bob Enyart, pastor of Denver Bible Church, and we're going to talk about ocean trenches, earthquakes, and volcanoes, and you will be able to answer two questions by the end of today's show. First, why did the Earth go from a 360-day year calendar to a 365-day year calendar? Why? And you might wonder, what does that have to do with earthquakes? We'll talk about that. And then, why after major earthquakes does the Earth speed up? And why do GPS locators show that the Earth, the crust, is gradually moving toward the Pacific? Those are two really interesting questions. One of my favorite people to talk to about science is Kevin Lee, a graduate of the Naval Nuclear Power Program. Today, he pastors Calvary Church in Port Orchard, Washington. Kevin Lee, welcome back to Bob Enyart Live.
Hi, Bob. It's great to be on your show again.
Well, thank you so very much. Well, how about it? Is it true that ancient cultures used the 360-day calendar?
Yes, it's been documented. For those that have dug up the writings and translated the hieroglyphics and other writings of the Persians, Egyptians, Chinese, Chaldeans, and many other cultures, the study was documented in a book by Emanuel Velikovsky.
Mm-hmm.
In 1950, he wrote a book saying that these ancient cultures all believed that the year should be 360 days, except for they were noticing, these cultures were noticing something's wrong. The Nile is flooding later every year.
Right.
So they had somehow in their culture understood that the days were 360, but something changed. And they didn't understand why.
So it just wasn't working for them. So now, and that Velikovsky, he had scientific theories that I don't think held water, but he was no slouch regarding research. He was friends with Albert Einstein. Einstein was reading a Velikovsky manuscript when he died. And so he documented from all over the world, including the Aztecs and Mayas and Peruvians and Egyptians and so on, that they had a 360-day calendar. And how about the circle, Kevin? A long time ago, mathematicians divided a circle into how many degrees?
Into 360 degrees.
Wow. To me, that's not a I don't think that's a coincidence.
No, and many people have wondered, why did the Babylonian astronomers, and see, it was astronomers that came up with the idea of a 360-degree circle. So people that were studying the stars cut a circle into 360 degrees. Why would they do that?
Yeah, why would they do that? Because it matched the orbit of the Earth around the sun. Could they look up in the night sky and say, wow, that night sky is just like it was a year ago?
Correct. They could. And see, each day, the night sky would change a little bit. So with their instruments that they had in antiquity, they basically said, okay, the Earth changed, the Earth's sky, the sky at night changed this much, and they turned their little instruments, and they realized that from the time they started observing each night until an entire year went by where the sky is exactly the same again was 360 days. So they made a 360-degree circle to coincide with what they observed in the night sky.
Now, there are two ways to explain how the calendar might change. The one I think we could dismiss because it involves planets interfering with Earth's orbit and changing Earth's orbit. And with modern computers, we could simulate that with the laws of gravity, and that's not how it happened. But there's another way, and it has to do with earthquakes. And earthquakes can speed up the rotation of the Earth. Is that true, and how would they do that?
Well, it's a fact that every major earthquake that's observed today, using atomic clock measurements of the rotation of the Earth, that every major earthquake causes the Earth to spin faster. And it, some people get confused on this. Going from a 360-day year to a 365-day year takes the Earth spinning faster. By the laws of conservation of angular momentum, that means that the mass of the Earth is getting closer to the center of the Earth, that the radius, the overall radius of the Earth is getting smaller.
So when something is spinning and it gets smaller, like a figure skater who pulls in her arms and she speeds up.
That's correct.
So this is a very well-known phenomenon of physics.
Yes, it is.
And in reality, this happens after earthquakes?
Every major earthquake. There aren't some earthquakes that cause the Earth to go slower and other earthquakes that cause it to go faster. They notice that it's going faster every single time there's a major earthquake that has adjusted the inner Earth or the Earth itself enough to measure it. So that means that something is causing the Earth to condense. And recently, some Japanese scientists and Dr. Walt Brown, in his book, have concluded that it's a result of the melting of the inner Earth.
A melting of the inner Earth. Now, we do know that the Earth, the way it's divided, the structure of the Earth, the crust, the mantle, and then the core, and there's an inner core and an outer core, and the outer core has a tremendous amount of liquid rock, doesn't it?
It does. For several hundred miles, you know, looking at it, you know, using that term from the radius, for several hundred miles of the deep inner Earth is melted magma. You know, and Dr. Brown theorizes that there was a time where that rock was not melted, and we now know that under the pressures deep in the Earth, in fact, as soon as you go deeper than 400 miles in the Earth, if you melt rock, then the rock will become more dense. It will take up less volume. That will cause all the mantle and crust above it to collapse down and cause the Earth's radius to become smaller.
Wow.
Which will make its speed increase in its rotational energy, conservation of angular momentum, and the days will get faster.
Right.
There will be more days in a year's orbit around the sun. If that all makes sense.
Okay, that does. And so when rock melts, it really shrinks in volume dramatically, almost in half.
Exactly in half. Right at the interface, most people are not aware of the dramatic density change at the interface between the bottom of the solid mantle
right.
and the top of the outer core, which is liquid. At that interface, the density doubles when rock goes from solid to melted.
Wow. So, and that is, that interface where you hit the outer core is about 3,000 miles down. So about 3,000 miles down, you've got the bottom of the solid mantle, and then the density about doubles. So if there was an event during man's history on Earth, in other words, during the time that men were using calendars and created a calendar, if there was an event that caused rock in the Earth to melt, then the Earth would end up spinning more quickly, and their calendars that said 360 days would now be wrong. They'd have to add 5 days to keep the calendar correct.
Yes, and what they meant by having, you know, realizing they need to add some fudge factor to their calendars is because people throughout all the centuries have done crops. And, you know, planted their crops based on what time of the year they think it is. And when you're getting only 5 days off a year, you might just think, well, the weather, it's a little bit late starting spring.
Yeah.
But after several years, you realize, wait a second, something's seriously wrong.
Yeah, and so eventually they had to use leap months. Like, we have 365 days in a quarter, so every 4 years we add a day so that winter festivals stay in the winter. Otherwise, they've gradually creeped to the wrong season, and pretty soon you'll have Christmas, so to speak, in the summer.
Right.
But so what they did was they added a leap month every 6 years or so. They added another month, but eventually the Romans got sick and tired of that. So we just got to fix the calendar. And so, Kevin Lee, I'd like to ask you to describe, you have a technical background, but maybe in a way that I could understand as a talk show host, Walt Brown's theory of what happened when the global flood began that ended up shifting so much of the mass of the Earth from the area of the Pacific up toward the area of the Atlantic. What happened?
Well, I'll try and condense it to make it simple for the listener that might still have a problem understanding. I'd encourage him to go to Dr. Brown's website where they can read his book online.
Mm-hmm.
It's called creationscience.com, and read about the overview of the hydroplate theory and then the trench chapter. Those two chapters would help them. But to try and put it quickly in layman's terms, Dr. Brown, MIT mechanical engineer, Air Force Academy professor, et cetera, has theorized that the Earth, at its creation, had about 10-mile thick crust with a layer of water. About half the ocean volume today was contained underneath the crust.
10 miles down, a sphere of water, what the Bible refers to as the waters beneath the firmament and the waters that were reserved for judgment. So water way down beneath the crust. Okay.
Yes, and there's evidence today that there is water underneath the crust, that leftover water that didn't erupt. But Dr. Brown theorizes that then that water increased in temperature and pressure until the crust ruptured. When it ruptured, the energy of that what he calls subterranean water was sufficient to cause extreme hydroblasting of the sides of the crack. So imagine the crust cracking. It would have erupted with such velocity that it would have taken the debris on the side of the crack of the crust and spread it all over the Earth, creating the sedimentary layers.
Right.
And it would have widened that crack, and the mantle then would have seen an area of low pressure. When that crack widened to several hundred miles wide, the mantle now sees that as a low pressure area, and that mantle would have moved up into that crack. Where the mantle moved into the crack, which circumnavigated the globe, is where we see the ocean, mid-oceanic ridge today. If you look on the ocean floor, there's a ridge, a mountain ridge.
It goes all over the Earth like a seam on a baseball, and so that's the leftover scar of the original cracking of the crust of the Earth.
Yeah, and it's actually the crack was in the crust above that ridge, but ridge is the mantle moving up into that crack.
Right. Well, very, very good point. And it'd be like a tennis ball that's under pressure, and if you peeled off some of that fuzzy outer layer, the rubber beneath it might want to pop up right where you peeled it because it's under pressure. So if the area of the Atlantic Ocean is eroding away, the pressure of the Earth is going to want to push up into that area.
That's correct. And actually, for those that have made a papier-mâché globe over a balloon, maybe this will help people, is if you had a balloon that you blew up and then you put paper on it to make your little globe, your sphere, glued paper.
Mm-hmm.
If you took away some of that paper after it had hardened, the balloon would want to pop up into that place.
Right.
That's what the mantle was trying to do. But see, when the mantle first, it grew the most in the area of the Atlantic Ocean. We don't have time to explain why.
Right.
And when it moved up in the Atlantic Ocean crack, the area that became the Atlantic Ocean, something inside the Earth has to take that.
Has to give.
Has to move. You can't just create a void space as the mantle starts popping up into the crack that's created in what's now the Atlantic Ocean.
Right.
Mid-oceanic ridge. So the inner Earth started moving. When the inner Earth starts moving under extreme pressure, it melted rock. As the rock melted, it became more dense. It shrunk, if you will. And the radius of the Earth started decreasing, and the Earth started spinning faster, and that's why our calendar is now 365 instead of 360.
So we had a variation, and we could calculate then approximately that density increase because of the change in the calendar, which is such a neat historic reference. But then something really phenomenal started happening in the Pacific, and this is where Walt Brown's theory really shines. Because the Pacific is so very different from the Atlantic, and the Pacific with the features it has, could you describe some of the features in the Pacific that are so different than the Atlantic?
Well, the Atlantic Ocean doesn't have any trenches, and the Pacific Ocean is nearly all of the trenches on the Earth are in the Pacific Ocean.
And these are miles deep, like the Marianas Trench. The Marianas Trench is about as deep as the Mount Everest is tall.
very close to the same. And there's also, in the Pacific, there are 40,000 volcanoes in the Western Pacific floor littering the Pacific floor.
40,000 volcanoes?
Over a mile high.
Over a kilometer high, each one?
Yes.
And the Atlantic doesn't have a parallel to that. The Atlantic doesn't have 25,000 volcanoes. This is a dramatic difference in the character of these two ocean basins.
Right, and Dr. Brown's theory is that as the inner Earth melted, basically the entire foundation was eroded underneath the outer mantle and crust of the Earth. So something had to give. As the inner Earth is melting, it would be like trying to undermine your house, the foundation of your house. You dig out all the dirt, and all of a sudden something gives, and your whole house collapses.
Right.
And what happened is the inner Earth was melting, and the foundation was being compromised all over the Earth. The thing that gave was the Pacific plate that's now on the bottom of the magma that's on the Pacific Ocean floor. The Pacific plate sunk miles down into the mantle, and that block faulting that would have occurred as the foundation was undermined and as the Pacific fell, that block faulting would have melted massive amount of rock and created the magma that generated the 40,000 volcanoes on the Pacific floor.
Wow. And the trenches that are in the Pacific, and if I understand it, there's a pattern to those trenches, and the center of that trench area is at the opposite side of the globe as the center of the Atlantic Ocean.
That's correct. Which makes it's perfectly consistent with Dr. Brown's theory that the Atlantic rising caused a melting of the inner Earth and the formation of the trenches and the block faulting and magma and volcanoes on the Pacific side.
Wow. So that when we compare Walt Brown's theory with plate tectonics, there's a map on Wikipedia, and I enjoyed your DVD. Pastor Kevin Lee, you made a great DVD on earthquakes, and I recommend people in the audience go to your website, CalvaryPO for Port Orchard, calvarypo.org, and order your DVD, or they could watch it on YouTube. But you have a map of predictions by the plate tectonics theorist who show where the different plates on the Earth, what direction they should all be moving. And then you show a map of actual movements based on the GPS locators that are all over the globe now.
That's correct, and they do not coincide.
They don't coincide. What direction does the GPS data show that so much of the Earth is moving? Where is it all moving?
Yeah, all the continental plates, and there are plates, and they are moving. The continental plates are moving towards the trenches in the Pacific, towards the Pacific Ocean, and specifically towards the trench area, which is a known density deficiency on the Earth.
Hmm. So a density deficiency meaning that something's going on where there's not as much mass as you'd expect.
That's correct.
And that's because it fell in, and ever since, the Earth has somewhat come to a stasis, but it's still trying to settle, and so the continents are still gradually lurching toward the Pacific.
That's very true, because the density deficiency in the Pacific, and specifically the trench area, is basically an unstable Earth. The Earth wants all mass to be equal, and over time, if the Earth were billions of years old, there would be no earthquakes, because that's enough time for the Earth to become stable, unless there's some cataclysm that throws the stability off.
Mm.
We happen to believe that there was a cataclysm about 4,000 years ago that threw the stability of the Earth off, creating potential energy that is now causing movement, friction, earthquakes.
Mm.
Earthquakes are a testimony to a recent cataclysm.
I'd like to ask you about earthquakes, Kevin Lee, because you have been monitoring the daily reports of earthquake activity around the world for a long time, and you've created your own database for years now. Isn't that right?
That's correct.
How long have you been looking at earthquake activity?
Well, I've been watching the USGS map, which anybody can go to. Just do Googled search on global earthquakes USGS.
All right.
United States Geological Survey.
Right.
And you will hit onto a map that they show where all the earthquakes have been located and their magnitude in the last week. And so there's a map for the United States, Puerto Rico, Hawaii, Alaska, you know, Puerto Rico added to that map. And there's another map for the world. And there's a certain threshold of earthquake.
The
Richter scale,
right.
Size. And so they basically show every earthquake over that threshold in the last week. And they have the number. How many earthquakes are there on this map in the last week? And what I do is I document that number. Other people have databases that how many over magnitude 5 or 6, and they can get those from USGS. But the number I'm looking at is there an increase or decrease, staying the same, fluctuations of the overall number per week? It has nothing to do with the magnitude except the threshold.
And I haven't done this daily for 10 years, Pastor Lee, but I did look some weeks back. And when I looked, there were about, if I recall, about 1,300 earthquakes on this USGS map for 1 week.
Yes, that would be the United States picture would show 1,000, yes.
Okay.
Typically around 1,000.
And so because we have melting of rock in the inner earth, therefore the crust of the earth ends up unstable because the foundation is being compromised.
That's correct. There is a big train wreck, if you will, about 4,000 years ago in the flood of Noah. And as these train cars and everything are all piled up on each other, things are happening over time, and they're moving, and they're trying, the potential energy is trying to just get all that train wreck back down to ground level. And that's what's happening over time. But one of these days, there's going to be an earthquake that melts rock, because when you have an earthquake, you're creating magma, and as soon as you make rock go from solid to liquid, the liquid rock cannot sustain shear stress. That means whatever it was holding, it can't hold anymore when it liquefies, so whatever stress it was holding gets put to the rock next to it. Well, then that rock is going to melt, and all of a sudden you can have a runaway global earthquake, which is what the Bible predicts will be our future.
The Bible predicts that, and for those who are without Jesus Christ, they should be able to look at the world and see that we need a creator God who loves us to take care of us now and forever. But, of course, we're talking about earthquakes and trenches, Pastor Kevin Lee, and not eternal salvation. But it's part of the same story, right? Because it's part of God's Word, the Bible, which tells us what has happened and what will happen.
That's true. And see, the thing is, if people think that we've been around for, the Earth's been around for billions of years, we've been around for hundreds of thousands of years and everything just without any, there's no God. It's an empty philosophy. And when we have something that shows us, there was a cataclysm in the not-too-distant past that caused these changes in our Earth from 360 days to 365. And if that was a result of judgment, and then God says there's judgment reserved in the future, a judgment of fire, then it would behoove people to take stock in whether they're in harmony with this God of love that wants to rescue them.
And what people do instead is they believe in atheistic theories like the Big Bang or plate tectonics, for example, which would tell us that these earthquakes will all occur on plate boundaries. And is that what you've seen? Is that true, or are there earthquakes far from plate boundaries?
Well, their theory would predict that earthquakes would only occur at plate boundaries. Their own Wikipedia, and I consider Wikipedia to be an evolutionary mouthpiece, and not that of the Christian faith.
Right.
Their own website on plate tectonics, and anybody can go read this, that they mention. The theory would say it only happens on plate boundaries. However, places like Australia, in the very middle of a plate, where you would expect no earthquakes, has had several high-intensity earthquakes. high magnitude earthquakes, and they don't have an explanation for it. It's contrary to their theory, but they stick with their theory because they don't have an alternative.
Yeah, and the alternative is that the story in God's word is actually history. God created the earth as a paradise. The global flood brought a tremendous judgment, which cracked the crust of the earth. It caused melting of rock inside the earth. It sped up the rotation of the earth. Therefore, we had to change our calendar. It buried billions of living creatures and plants under sedimentary layers on continents all over the world, about a mile deep. And so the evidence, sea fossils on top of every major mountain range. Kevin Lee, we're about out of time. We have about a minute left. But the evidence is just so extraordinary that God's word is literally true.
Yeah, and I hope the listener that maybe was waffling and believes when they went to school that plate tectonics is so proven, I hope that that listener will take stock of the fact. Go read Wikipedia's own article on plate tectonics. You'll see them contradicting themselves within the same article. They do not know.
Within the same article. And the fact that the GPS data of where everything is moving on the crust of the earth is not as predicted by plate tectonics,
right,
but it is as is predicted by Walt Brown's hydroplate theory.
Yes.
That's a world filled with evidence that the Pacific was sucked in as the Atlantic rose up.
Yes, and that the Bible is true. And if the Bible's true about the flood of Noah, then maybe it's also true, and I don't say maybe like I'm wondering, that people need to be forgiven of sin through Jesus Christ, who was sent by God to save us.
Wow. That's powerful, Pastor Kevin Lee. I want to urge people to get your DVD on earthquakes, or they could watch on YouTube.
That's correct. They can write our website, write us at the website, and we'll send you one. Or you can watch it on YouTube for free.
So give us the website.
CalvaryPO.org. And the easiest way to get it at YouTube is to Google Kevin Lee Earthquakes, and you'll see a clip that several people are linking to it, and then you can go to our YouTube site and watch it 10 minutes at a time, although we understand YouTube's going to 15 minutes, and we'll alter that.
Oh, cool. But it's so much better to get the DVD, too.
They can order it, and we can send it to them for $10.
All right. Pastor Kevin Lee, thank you so much for joining us again, Pastor.
All right.
I appreciate that. And that's Port Orchard, Washington, a beautiful part of this country. And Pastor Kevin Lee and I became friends just a few years ago because we have a mutual friend, a hero of mine, Dr. Walt Brown, who, as Kevin said, got his PhD in mechanical engineering, from MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology. And Walt Brown taught the physical sciences at the U.S. Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs. His book, In the Beginning, is available from us right here at kgov.com. You could call us 800-ANYAR or go to our website, kgov.com, and we'll link to Pastor Lee's video also.